Today we continue with the third homily in a series of homilies that I'm giving to help you vote with a clearer Catholic conscience this November 3rd. The first homily was on abortion and pro-life. The second one was on racism. And today's topic is marriage and caring for the LGBTQ persons. For those who are unfamiliar with the acronym LGBTQ, it stands for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and either queer or questioning. You can find the text and the audio of these homilies at the church website of Immaculate Conception under Father John's voting guide. Just to reiterate, I am not here to talk about candidates. I am here to talk about Catholicism. The Church's teaching refines our conscience, like calibrating an inner compass to point true north. Spiritual true north, of course, is Jesus Christ. Before diving headfirst into these deep waters, let us dip our toes in by looking at love through the eyes of a child. Someone sent me these definitions of love by children. One small child wrote, "When my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore. So my grandfather does it for her all of the time. Even when he got arthritis too, that's love." Another one mused, "When a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne and they go out and smell each other, that's love." Another child remarked, "When my mommy makes coffee for my daddy and takes a sip before she gives it to him to make sure it tastes okay, that's love." And lastly, "When you go out to eat and you give somebody most of your French fries without making them give you any of theirs, that's love." Seeing love through the eyes of a child may be the closest approximation to how God sees love, too. I believe the beauty of church teaching lies in the balance it strikes between truth on the one hand and tenderness on the other hand. Have you ever seen someone walking a tightrope high in the air with a long pole to help them keep their balance? The long balancing pole is the church's teaching that keeps us from falling, beautifully balancing both truth and tenderness. In their document, Forming Consciences for Faithful Citizenship, the U.S. bishops insist, on the one hand, marriage must be defended, recognized, and protected as a lifelong exclusive commitment between a man and a woman, as the source of the next generation and the protective haven for children. That's the truth end of the balancing pole of church teaching. In the same paragraph, however, they likewise maintain this affirmation in no way compromises the church's opposition to unjust discrimination against those who experience deep-seated homosexual tendencies, who must be accepted with respect, compassion, sensitivity. This is the other end, the tenderness end of the balancing pole. If we tip the pole too far to the truth side, we lose the tenderness and we fall off. If we tip the pole too far to the tenderness end and forget the truth, we also fall off the tightrope. The beauty of Catholicism is in the balance. Let me share three real-life examples where I found it kind of tough to balance truth and tenderness regarding marriage and LGBTQ persons, and see what you think. Many years ago, I was pastor in another parish, and a lesbian couple invited me to their home for supper. I happily accepted. Incidentally, this was before same-sex marriage was legal. There were two lovely ladies, very kind and generous. They attended Mass every Sunday and even taught in the parish religious education program. At one point in the evening, I needed to ask an awkward and uncomfortable question. Namely, if a student in their class asked about the church's teaching about marriage, could they answer what the church actually teaches? And they both replied that they could. And I breathed a sigh of relief. And dessert tasted a lot better after that. Now notice, I did not demand that they separate. They might be living chastely. Nor did I refuse to give them Holy Communion. That is not the time to play tug of war when someone comes up for communion. Nor did I excommunicate them from the church. That's above my pay grade. And I did not tell them they are going to hell. God alone decides that. Of course, if that dinner had happened today, when same-sex marriage exists, and if they had taken the public step of civil marriage, diocesan policy would prohibit them from any formal teaching ministry. So let me ask you, did I balance truth and tenderness, or did I tumble off the tightrope? Here's the second situation. It was a conversation I had with a mother and father whose daughter had declared that she was gay, and she intended to marry her same-sex partner. The parents were devout Catholics, obviously, since they were asking their pastor for advice. And they wanted to know if they should attend the wedding. The parents probably felt like George Clooney in the movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, when he said, "Dang, we're in a tight spot." The parents deeply loved their Catholic Church and wanted to be good Catholics. But they also desperately loved their baby girl and wanted to be good parents. They didn't want to turn their back on their faith or on their family. My advice to them was to first and foremost assure their daughter that they loved her and that their love would never change, no matter what she did. They would always love her. However, that did not mean that they would always agree with her choices or decisions. This is probably not the first time that happened. Then I added, if you can make it clear to your daughter that you are being present at the wedding to support her, but also that you disapprove of the marriage itself, then I believe it's okay for you to attend the wedding. So let me ask you again, did I balance truth and tenderness, or did I tumble off the tightrope? The third scenario is the most complicated and controversial. A family came to seek my counsel because their teenage son was exploring his sexuality and felt more comfortable somewhere along the LGBTQ spectrum. I shared two thoughts with them. First, I said that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, God created each human person in his image and likeness. Male and female, he created them. In other words, the one who knows you best, better than you know yourself, is the one who created you, namely God. As you explore your sexuality, don't forget to ask God what he thinks you are. You are a child of God before you are LGBTQ, because God is your father. And that is your destiny, to be a child of God forever. The second thing I mentioned to the parents is don't burn bridges. That is, maintain a supportive, loving, and open relationship with your children. Let them know that they can always come and talk to you about anything, and you will listen and love them. Children grow and mature and change. And they need to know you are patiently waiting for them, not burning the bridges. Remember the father figure in the parable of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15? The father never stopped loving his son, no matter how far he wandered away, and no matter how he lived his life. The father welcomed him home with open arms. No 20 questions, no recriminations. You cannot control the behavior of your children, but you can control your own behavior, and you can imitate the actions and the attitude of God. So let me ask you again, did I balance truth and tenderness, or did I tumble off the tightrope? Some of you may be sitting there thinking, Father John, that homily was perfectly useless in helping me to know how to vote in November. And you would be perfectly right. This homily was not designed to tell you how to vote. It was designed to help you to think more deeply about difficult issues, to calibrate your conscience with Catholicism, so you might decide how best to vote in November and not have someone tell you. Let me end with a quotation from Joseph Pieper, who said, "Well, the considerations put forward in this essay were not designed to give advice or to draw up a line of action. They were meant to make men think." And if by chance this homily did not help you think, just think about girls putting on perfume and boys putting on cologne and going out to smell each other. Praised be Jesus Christ.